Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Human Design Podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I want to share something really amazing with you. And it's actually one of our new Millions of Millionaires sponsors. So to introduce this body graph chart software that we've been using that's been mind-blowing. So I want to welcome the amazing Taylor Dyson, who is my incredible operations manager. Welcome along, Taylor.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. This is actually something that we implemented when?
April.
Yeah.
And this year.
We were just trialing it out because they'd reached out to us in regards to sponsoring the podcast or something like that, wasn't it? And so it kind of wasn't even on our radar. And we tried it out and we had such low expectations. And then what happened?
Well, I remember sending you a message going, Emma, why are we not using this? Because I was mind blown. You know, we get a lot of requests for stuff like that. And, you know, there's new softwares all the time. And I clicked on it, like you said, with very low expectations. And I started looking through what they can do. And I got so excited. You know, the MG in me was like, oh my God, we have to use this. And I saw the potential of it. And it has delivered more than expected. It's really awesome.
Amazing. Now, before we get into the actual numbers, because I know numbers with Taylor is a thing in our business. She loves to share all the numbers. Let's just tell the listeners exactly who it's for and what it is.
Yeah. So it's a great tool for anyone who uses human design in their business. So if you're a human design reader, a human design coach, or just someone who uses human design in your business, if you incorporate it into whatever you do, it's a way for you to embed an actual human design chart tool into your website. So, you know, if you want someone to get their human design chart, you probably send them to an outside platform somewhere, you know, oh, go to this website, put in your details and get your chart, whatever that platform might be. There's a couple big ones. And what's cool about this is that it allows you to put that tool on your own website and it's yours. So when someone comes and, you know, puts their information into your website, they get their chart and then you can hook it up to your email list, to your newsletter. You can have it linked to your own content. You can customize the reports afterwards that they get, you know, so it's your own descriptions of what you know, this type is or this profile. So that's kind of what it is.
Oh my God, I love it. And it's so cool because I actually remember when Jenna Zoe, because it must be the same software that Jenna Zoe used and before anyone else. Yeah, right. And I was always like, wow, her chart looks so beautiful and it's on her website. That's so cool. So yeah, when we started using it, I was like, this is beautiful. I'm really excited that we can do it. But let's talk hard numbers. Like we have had some serious success with this, just adding this to our business. So tell everyone a little bit about the growth that we've experienced through using this.
Yeah. So since implementing it into our website in April, there have been over 4,000 people that have downloaded their chart through the website. And that's unique. That's not, you know, someone who does it twice, because a lot of people, they'll go back because they won't download the PDF or something, or they lost it or misplaced it. That's unique chart downloads. So it's even more for double for people doing it twice. And it's been really amazing. It's more than tripled the size of the email list. And, you know, you can set up, you know, sequences afterwards for people to, you know, give them more information and keep everything in-house.
Yeah. And because one of the really big things for us is obviously human design made simple. So it gives us the opportunity to give our way of teaching human design directly to the people who want it. And I love that. I love that every single person that wants to get their chart, that downloads it, we can then support them on their journey straight away, which is, of course, what you set up, because you're amazing to make sure that not only do they get their chart, but they also get this support, free content support that helps them as they're, you know, new to human design and on their journey. So beautiful. So how do people access this? What's it called? And I know that there's a benefit for listeners of the podcast.
Yes. So you can go to the link in the show notes, or you can go to bodygraphchart.com. And they have been kind enough to give the listeners of the Human Design Podcast a 50% off discount for 12 months, which is huge because it's already inexpensive to begin with. And then the 50% discount is going to put it at $25 a month. That's in US dollars. So wherever you are in the world, it'll be, you know, a little bit different, but 50% off for 12 months. And the code is Human Design Podcast. And we'll put that in the show notes too for everyone. And one of the other things I want to say that's really cool about this chart tool is that it's 100% customizable, and it actually gives Chiron and the four arrows, which is what a lot of chart tools don't do that. So that's one thing that a lot of people are drawn to when they go to get our chart from our website is, oh, I can get the arrows because of it, or my Chiron gates.
I love that. It's so cool. So check out the show notes, people. Get on it, because really it is such a powerful and, as Taylor says, inexpensive tool. Like, it paid for itself in the first 2 days, I seem to remember, or first day, I seem to remember. So it's so valuable, and it gives you the opportunity to really build your brand and your communication with your clients. So thank you. Go check it out. Hey, hey, everyone. I am so freaking excited. We are starting a new series where we're going to dive a little bit into the line numbers. As those of you who have been listening along for a while, you know that we run panels in HDX, which are hours of us talking and diving super deep into things like lines, type, strategy, authority, centers, all of those sort of things. But here on the podcast, I just want to give you a taste of what those panels are like. And I tell you what, if there's anything on this podcast that you love, well, it's like 2% of what you're going to find in HDX. So you should so go check it out. So today I have two of my favorite humans to talk about being a line one. Let's welcome Taylor Jiasen. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. And of course, the beautiful Bronwyn Snell.
Hello, thank you very much for having me too.
I'm super excited. Both of these girls are a part of my team, so they're some of my absolute favorites. So, Taylor, given that we're talking about line one, I should have said, do you want to just let everyone know your type? Let's give you type, authority, and, of course, your profile.
Yep, 5-1, sacral manifesting generator.
Beautiful. Thank you. And Bronwyn?
I'm a 1-3 splenic projector.
Beautiful. So we're going to hear about these two very different experiences of being a line one, being such, and I know these, the design of these two women, so they're very different designs as well, which is beautiful to be having this discussion. So let's dive in. I'm going to be really simple just to kick off and just say, like, what's it like being a line one? When you first came to human design, what really resonated about being a line one? Taylor, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I think the the line one is actually one of the very first things that I've looked at, aside from type, was the profile. For some reason, it really called to me. And what really resonated about being a line one was this really deep need to have a foundation of knowledge before you can really like do anything else. It made me feel seen. I was like, oh, you know, the researcher, people come to me and are like, oh, can you figure this thing out? And so that part made me feel really seen.
I love that. Bronwyn, how about you? What really resonated with being a line one?
Well, my experience was similar. I would say probably the first thing that resonated for me was my profile and specifically the line one, because I'm definitely somebody who has always had to deep dive and gather knowledge, especially on the things that I like and maybe even on the things that I don't necessarily like, but it does create that sense of safety and security. And I never thought about it like that until I found human design. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's accurate.
I love that. And let's talk to that a little bit. So given that one of you, so Taylor's got a transpersonal profile, Bronwyn's got a personal profile. I'd love to sort of understand, like when we talk about foundation, like Taylor, do you feel like you have to have the foundation first? And I would guess with Bronwyn maybe being a 1-3, you kind of have an experience and then you create the foundation. Taylor, do you want to go first? Do you feel like you have to have that foundation before you jump into other things?
Absolutely. Yeah. If I don't have a solid foundation of knowledge or understanding, I feel like I can't actually go anywhere or do anything before I have like that clarity.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think it's like the thing for me is obviously because I work with you, I feel one of the things that we've seen so dramatically in the business is that you're actually the one that's creating all of these really fundamental foundations of the business. And I mean, in a perfect world, everyone would have these sort of energies because you also have that huge energy of expansion. So you put down the foundations and then you expand through your incarnation cross, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the way I would describe it just really simply is it's like nothing else makes sense without it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Like being a 3-5, I can't even resonate, you know, like for me, it's just like jump in, make a mess, see what happens and then problem solved, you know. Bronwyn, do you feel like you have an experience given that you've got a personal profile? Do you feel like you kind of have an experience and from that experience, you're like, right, I need to create a foundation here?
Kind of. I was just thinking it's like a line one sandwich almost. It's like in between my line three. So I maybe have like some sort of introduction to whatever it is. And then I have this like fear or insecurity, I think, that creeps up. That's like, before I can be any sort of like guru on this or help anybody else or do anything for anyone else, I need all of the information. So then I step into my line one mode and gather all the information, read the books, watch videos, join memberships or courses, whatever it is. And then at that point, I have to push myself back into the line three and actually just doing whatever it is. So for example, with human design, I discovered it and then I gathered all of the information. And then I had to push myself to actually like start doing readings and start helping people. But I do have to have that internal process with that personal profile so that I'm like kind of healing myself as I go with the information before I can go share it with other people.
Yeah, I love that. And I think about, you know, our experience together, you know, like it all started with an unpack and then it turned into the membership and then it turned into the mastermind, you know, like it was just this like one thing after the other. Like once you'd had the experience, you couldn't get enough of it. Now, one of the things I'm really interested about with the line one is this ability. So I see it in my son, this ability to be so intuitive about how their behavior impacts the other and how other people's behavior impacts each other. When you hear that, and these tend to be people that then go pretty, not only are they aware, but they'll tend to go kind of internal. They're kind of like, that they worry about maybe the impact that they had on themselves, or if they're going through a challenge, they'll tend to go internal instead of sharing it externally. Taylor, does that resonate with you? And if so, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the piece you said about going internal. With being a line one, it's like having an awareness of especially how other people are impacting each other. And if I'm in a room and two people are having a conversation, I feel like I'm that person looking back and forth at both of them and I can see how each one of them is impacting the other person. And I'm like, am I the only one reading the room here? So I feel that a lot, and I'm very aware of how my behavior impacts other people, you know, to a point where I can kind of be hesitant sometimes to say or do a certain thing, or, you know, really notice how other people impact me. So yeah, and the whole going internal thing in that process is huge for me. I won't really like say somebody, like, if somebody's behavior is really impacting me in the past, I think I've really gone internal and not wanted to say anything. And of course, some of that is not very resourceful, but that's kind of how that feels.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And you're absolutely right. I think one of the challenges for the lone one is that they need to learn to share, you know, learn to speak it out loud, ask for help, those sort of things. Bronwyn, do you want to talk a little bit to that? Like, tell us a little bit about that sensitivity that you have to be able to sort of see how your behavior and other behavior impacts, and that part about going internal. What resonates with you, and tell us a little bit about it?
I mean, all of that resonates, and Taylor's experience too really sounds like my experience. It's been a lot of, especially I think as like the youngest in my family, sort of seeing how everyone's reacting to each other, but then my family has this layer where they don't talk about it. So really, I think the only way I had to process it was internal. So it was kind of like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. And then moving forward, just other pieces of my design with like people pleasing or proving myself, like I just kept it all inside. And it, just like Taylor, it wasn't until recently that I've now started to share more. But I also have to be really conscious not to project that piece of myself, that going internal or worrying too much about how I'm affecting other people or other people are affecting other people when I'm parenting. Because I can see myself projecting that onto my kids as well. Especially I have a son who's like a 2.5, and I don't want to put too much junk on him to, you know, have this sort of internal anxiety about, okay, how am I affecting other people? I mean, there's like compassion and empathy, and then there's going overboard, which I think at times I have in my life as a line one.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And thank you. And I totally resonate with that. We have to be more aware, just more aware when we have kids with those projection fields, because it's kind of amplified. I imagine like Taylor, you being a 5.1, it would have been pretty amplified in your family, but we're not here to talk about the 5. We're here to talk about the 1. So one of the things I'm kind of curious about is the nuances between having a line one in the personality, in the mind, versus having the line one in the body or the, you know, the design side of our chart. So when we sort of think about our profile, we want to make sure that we're aligned with the body piece, which is kind of where I was going earlier. We need to know that we're aligned with the body. I know for me being a 3.5, it was when I did my healing and I faced my fears and my shadow that, you know, all of a sudden the world of experience just opened up for me, for my 3 to go and have a bunch of experiences. But when I was really shut down and I wasn't facing those things, I didn't have many experiences at all. And the ones I did have were pretty rubbish. So I kind of just want to touch on what it feels like to have a line one in the body and what it feels like to have a line one in the personality. So Taylor, having that line one in the body, we talk about things being either, for me, I talk about it being more innate, but we'll also hear it's unconscious. Do you feel like when you came to human design, there was a level of like, what would you call it? If it's innate or unconscious, like, was there something of that sort of flavor when you first came to human design?
Yeah, I think the word innate is what really resonates with me. And I think it's this ability to figure things out and create strong foundations that has always been super innate to me, that I feel like is always called out of me by other people, which I'm assuming is a big part of the line 5 too. But again, we're not here to talk about that. But you know, I've just always been really grounded in that in my body. And it always felt really innate when somebody asked me to, you know, figure something out or do something or research something, or even just for myself, like when I want to know more about something, that piece of it, I never had to think about it. It just feels so innate to go through that process. I don't even know how to describe it with words. It's like, it's just a part of me.
Oh, I love that. And it's so funny, as you're speaking, I'm sort of reflecting on my line 5, and the sentence that came into my head before you even said it was, you know, it's just there. It just happens. It's just a part of me. So I totally resonate with that. But from my point of view. So Bronwyn, having a lion one in your personality, one of the things that I would be curious about is like potentially, you know, the shadow side of the lion three, let's say that's like making and breaking bonds. That might be a fear of commitment. That might be kind of feeling that run away, but you know, it's probably not a big thing for you. Cause again, it's innate, it's in the body. And, in the mind, we have this ability to create so much more story, you know, and because from the personality point of view in the design, this is where we really are dealing predominantly with the binary. Like, yeah, there's kind of a binary everywhere because whatever we do, we're going to create mind stories about it. But as long as we keep it innate and just below our consciousness, we don't create stories about it. However, in our personality side, we do. So the things I'd be sort of curious about having a one in the personality side would be like, have you noticed over your own healing journey, your own growth, that you had lots of fear-based stories around, I don't know, not knowing enough, not being able to take action, you know, even though you have all this information, like you do the information gathering, but you don't take action. Tell us a little bit about maybe the shadow side, but also the gift side of it and how it plays out in that more conscious part of the chart.
Yeah, I'd say that there was maybe growing up before even like the healing journey, like this emphasis towards being really book smart and really, really studying and getting good grades, but doing it all through like the reading and the gathering of the information and things like that, almost to the point where I can tell looking back on it now, I didn't need to do all that. I think that was a shadow side of sort of my experience as a kid and, you know, in high school and college. Now through my healing journey, I've definitely noticed that it has been like, I have been stuck in the information. It's a confidence thing, like feeling like you have a lack of confidence. I can't do this until I know absolutely everything about whatever it is. So it has been a challenge for me to just push myself to do something. So that's been a big thing to overcome, but something that I feel like I'm getting really good at is get enough information. I think it was Denise Duffield Thomas. So I've been reading some of her books and she said, you know, you don't have to be an expert. You can be a contributor. And so since I read that, I'm like, okay, this is what I need. Like I have enough information to be a contributor to whatever it is that lights me up and to help people that way. I don't have to know everything. So I thought that was a really cool little quote of hers. I'd say that the gift of it is it opens me up to like these whole new worlds. And when I do get excited about something, it's really cool to be able to learn all of the things and gather information in all the different ways. And it just excites me and it pushes me forward and fuels me to do new things. So I think it's a gift and it's very like inspirational to me, especially now that I think I've found the balance between when it's okay to like gather the information and then when it's okay to start doing.
I love that. I love that. Is there anything you want to add on that, Taylor? Because I didn't really ask you about that shadow part.
Just right at the very end when Bronwyn said like when that switch between when you feel like you have enough information and then the doing, it does feel kind of like that in your body, almost, at least in my experience, like if I don't feel like I have enough information, there's this drive and this pull to want more, to learn more. And then there just comes this point where it's all of a sudden, it's like, I can now take action. And it's like, just comes out of nowhere. And I think that in more of a shadow state, it's like, for me, feeling like I can't do this until I know enough because I'm not good enough. And if that's what's driving me, that's more of the shadow aspect, is if I feel like I'm not good enough because I don't have the information, as opposed to just feeling this pull that's not anxiety driven or self-worth driven, but this pull to want to have more knowledge because I know that it's required for whatever needs to expand off of that foundation, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. It's beautiful. Love it. Thank you. Now, there's just one last thing I want to talk about, and that is this piece where it was interesting. We had a long conversation on one of the masterminds recently about this. And It's all about being an authority as a line one. And one of the things that I think line ones in my experience get caught up with is they're kind of like, well, I need all the information to be the authority. But the truth is that you already have the authority energy, and then you gather the information and take the action from there. So one of the things that I really would just like to hear from you two is that your relationship with hearing and then knowing and ultimately being this authority. And potentially, was there a journey from, well, I have to have the information, like Bronwyn just touched on, I have to have the information before I'm the authority? Or is that connection, is it growing in you where you're kind of like, oh, right, I am the authority, and my journey to gather information is, you know, how I share my authority with the world, but the authority is already there within me. Does that make sense? Do you want to talk to that, Bronwyn? What's your experience with that and being an authority as a line one?
Yeah, that's definitely been a huge growth piece for me, and one I think I'm still on. I think when, you know, I had 15 years in education that I just left, but for so long, people would come to me and ask me things, and I would know it and gladly answer because I love helping people. But I never gave myself credit for why they were coming to me, and sort of owning that authority piece. I think there was just a lot of shadow and self-doubt and needing to prove myself, all the things. And it's not till recently that I do kind of stop and remind myself, I am the authority. If somebody comes to me to ask me something, they're coming to me for a reason. It's not a fluke. Like if it was one person, maybe it was a fluke, but now that I'm seeing like a repeated pattern, I'm giving myself the permission to own the piece that I am an authority. But I think that's still a work in progress. I still catch myself falling into those old habits, but it is growing, definitely.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like it's so resonant for so many line ones. And it's funny because when we sit on the outside of that, I remember, like, well, in all the programs, in HDX, in the mastermind, like you were the authority really early on. And it wasn't like you were, you knew more than anyone else, let's say, but it was the fact that, and Taylor does this as well, is like willing to jump in, to share what you've learned, to share, in your case, experiences. You know, so it was the being an authority that sort of naturally comes out of you both. And I think that this is one of the things that kind of trips that line one up, is like, oh, no, or if I'm being seen as an authority, it's because I have all this information. It's like, no, you are the authority, and then you gather the information to answer the questions. Does that resonate?
Yeah.
100%.
Love it. Awesome. So Taylor, do you want to talk a little bit about your journey to owning your authority status?
Yeah. And, you know, as you guys were talking, I think it's interesting thinking about how my line one is unconscious, and how I was saying that it just feels so innate. I don't think I ever recognized it as being an authority within myself. I'm like, you know, the more people that recognize that in me, it helps me to see it in myself. But as that started happening, I'm like, I don't see what you're seeing, because to me, it just feels like, you know, like I was saying earlier, like it's something that just happens within me. It's just there. And so I didn't recognize it. That's something that was an authority within me. But I think that the more people that, you know, come into my life and it gets called out of me, and I am able to like step in and be that authority, it helps me build that confidence that I am. But I didn't see it in myself.
I love that. And I like it, just being on the journey with you. I think I saw it in you. And the person who actually recommended you to me obviously had seen it in you as well. And it's been a journey to watch you sort of step in. And it's hilarious because, you know, you say you don't see it, yet I feel like every person, you know, from a podcast guest I speak to once, to coaches that I'm working with, and in some way they work with you too, and they're all like, oh my God, like she's on fire. I'm like, she is, she's awesome. And I think that that's one of the things about the line one, is that, you know, I'm grateful to work with both of you and sort of see this almost, you know, like humility or humbleness, that you are more curious, and you want to learn, and you want to go down the rabbit hole, and the authority that both of you bring to a room is, you know, subtle. It's not like, look at me. It's like, I want to give you this, or I want to contribute this. And I think that that's, you know, you're both such a beautiful expression of how the line one can be really resourceful and empowered. So thank you, ladies. Thank you so much for sharing your journey today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So everyone, I trust that you've enjoyed this episode and getting to know a little bit more about being a line one. As I said, this is like a tiny little scrape on the outside. So if you are curious, please come and check out the links in the show notes for HDX and join us on our big panel discussions, because the next 12 months is going to be incredible in there. So please come join us. Thanks again, ladies, for joining us today. Thanks everyone for listening. And I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.